We sing the law, the final hymn, the last hymn, always now to comfort, to encourage our people who are not able to come. But we trust that you will be making ready to come and not be at ease at home all the time. We will be speaking to you about this week. Please turn your Bibles to me as we look at 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 15 and verse 1. There we read in the text, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 2 Kings 15, verse 1. Now, 2 Kings 15, 1 through 7, we have a summary of one of the good kings of Judah. He's commonly known as King Uzziah, with a U. He's mentioned in the prophets Isaiah, Amos, and Zechariah. Here he's also called Azariah, the son of Amaziah, or Amaziah, however you choose to pronounce it. The second thing you and I should be aware of in this chapter is that this Jeroboam, the king of Israel, is Jeroboam the second, who came 120 years after Jeroboam the first, the son of Nebat, or Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. He's remembered with that epitaph wherever you read of him. Uzziah, or Azariah, had the longest reign in any of the kings of Judah, a span of 52 years. Now, this meant that he was probably in his late 70s when he died. But there's a more extensive narrative of King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26, where we would be doing most of our work today. In 2 Chronicles 26, they give details of his success as well as his sin, which brought about his demise. It was a sad end, really, to a good man who left a tragic legacy. And it shows how success can become a snare. And this is the title of our message today, by the way. The snare of success. Any kind of success. In 2 Kings 15:5, we read, and the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwell in a several house, or an isolated house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. Well, because 2 Chronicles 26, the account there has a more comprehensive review of Uzziah, or Azariah, we will consider this chapter this hour by looking at three observations from the context. First, we would look at his success. In 2 Chronicles 26, our study text, verse 5, we read, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. We're told that Uzziah sought God in the days of Zechariah. Not Zechariah, the prophet, but the son of Zechariah, the priest, that was slain back in chapter 24, verse 20. This Zechariah had understanding in divine visions. This was God's way of communicating to his people in those days, as we are told in Hebrews 1, through visions. God does not speak this way today, according to Hebrews 1. He speaks through his word. Here the text tells us that God made King Uzziah to prosper. You see, when one is with the Lord will be with them. The king's success and prosperity was a result of his allegiance with the faithful priest Zechariah. Not hard to figure out that. The king Uzziah was successful in his warfare. If you read the text, you will see in verse 6, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneth and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. These, of course, were the gods of the Philistines that Uzziah waged war against. Notice again in verse 7 in 2 Chronicles 26. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwell in Gerbil and the Methunims. God helped him in his warfare, his natural warfare. Verse 8 says that he strengthened himself exceedingly. This, of course, refers to the enabling power of his God that strengthened him in his battles. And brethren, we need strength in our battles. We can't fight them alone. These heathen nations were always a threat to Israel's existence. Not only were they a threat to their existence, they were a threat to Israel's way of worship. And we should ponder these things carefully. These nations serve Baal and Ashtaroth. But God gave Uzziah strength to defeat them, as he would give you and I strength to defeat idolatry in our lives. It's a spiritual picture of how God enables his people to be victorious. Some days may not be as victorious as others, but God will give us victory. King Uzziah was also successful in his work. Whatever he put his hands to, I remember Joseph, God made it to prosper. We read in verses 9 and 10. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. He sought to fortify the city of Jerusalem with gates. He installed watchtowers for security reasons, to keep watch. Of course, there's much symbolism in what Uzziah did. You remember Proverbs 25:28 tells us, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You know how at times we like to fly off the handle? You should be cognizant of this text. He that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It means we let in all the sin when we can't control ourselves. Today you and I must not only teach the truth, you and I must uphold and defend the truth. This is what these gates represent. We're not only called to protect our spiritual lives from danger and outside forces, we are called to protect our churches. Leaders are called to protect their churches from false doctrines and false teachers and pseudo-Christians who pretend to be saved and are not, who pretend to be Jews and are not. Verse 10 says, also he built towers in the desert and dig many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the lower country and in the plains. Husbandmen also. We'll be talking about that tonight. What's a husbandman? And vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. What does this remind you of? I think you are so astute by now that you have it all figured out ahead of me. And it's good that God has sharpened your spiritual understanding. This was quite impressive for this king. The king was also equipped with an army of fighting men. I believe that his kingdom is a picture of the nation of Israel. As long as God's people followed the Lord, they were successful. I believe this king and his kingdom can also be likened to the church as well. As long as the church followed the Lord Jesus and his word, the Lord's blessing will rest upon us. But we see the success of King Uzziah. Today, you and I do not have any military battles to undertake as King Uzziah. But we are in warfare every single day. Sometimes the biggest warfare is ourselves and our people. Warfare against our personal sin. The older I get, I thought the easier it would have gotten with personal indwelling sin. But it's warfare every day. God can make us succeed. We do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but spiritual darkness in high places. We are to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Is a call for salvation. You cannot put on one piece of the armor and neglect the other pieces. You'll be shot. The whole armor is salvation. Many Christians today do not even know that they are in warfare. They just fit right in with the enemy and the world. They wear the same uniform. We are also in warfare against the world around us. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we see these pictures, these truths. You and I can only triumph if we are like what we read of this man. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Remember this in your personal life. We are just a day away from apostasy. We all should endeavor to be successful in our warfare and in our work of the ministry. God has given us. He has equipped us. We are told in Ephesians 4 that God has given some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When we preach here, are you being edified? When you listen, are you being edified? Are you being prepared for the work of the ministry? Or are you going to get fat and overweight, as I was saying this morning? We do not have apostles and prophets today, but we have other gifts that are meant to perfect God's people for the work of the ministry. You and I can only be successful in the Lord's work if we follow the Lord. Remember, Moses prayed in Psalm 90 and invoked the Lord to let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children, to establish the work of our hands. Moses was praying that the Lord Jesus would come in the midst of his people. Therefore, we can draw some important spiritual lessons from what we saw in the first head, the king's success. But we come to the tragic part, his sin, the part that we don't necessarily like to talk about, Uzziah's sin. In 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16, we read of a problem. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He forgot what happened to Aaron's two sons. How quick you and I can forget how God judges sin. Here is where Uzziah's downfall began. The scripture says, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Now you know the name Uzziah means, the Lord is my strength. But he failed to live up to his name. He forgot the meaning of his name. Apparently, he saw his success to be a product of his own strength. And because he did, a number of things unfolds that characterizes his sin. Oh, and I should take note of this. And you too. Because a lot of us have these seeds. First thing we see is independence. The text says in verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his own destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. God was still his God. And he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. You and I know quite well that the act of burning incense was not protocol for the king. It was not his responsibility. Uzziah was not from the tribe of Aaron. He came through the line of Solomon. Numbers 16 tells us this. 39 and 40 is explicitly clear. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they that were burnt had offered. And they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. How quick you and I can forget God's principles in worship, in service. We try to bring our people around back to principles of the Bible, but some of them don't want to come around. What a sad error on behalf of this good king to act independently in such a restricted service reserved only for the priests. Pride often leads to independence. Doing things on our own recognizance. Pride goes before destruction. Let's bring this home a bit. In our days, we are seeing many different versions of the Bible being adopted. People even don't want their Bibles. They want to preach from a tablet. And some of you want to copy that. What's wrong with the scriptures? And you might be hearing me today, but that's okay. We are seeing many methods being used. That seems right. Modern. I'm afraid that many today are acting independently. I think we should remember the words of the apostle when he wrote to the Corinthians, "Let all things be done decently and in order." In order can only mean according to the scriptures. What the king did was out of order. Well, we see another manifestation of his pride, indifference. Indifference to the word of God and a standing priest place as a buffer in his path. Look at verse 17. And Azariah, the priest, went in after him. And with him, 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. The king was outnumbered 80-1. He insisted in his way. Success and pride often intoxicate men to be indifferent, unresponsive to reason. I've dealt with many like this. Say what you may about these 80 priests. But one thing we cannot say is that they were wimps. That they were weak men who approached the king. The scriptures say that they were valiant men. Men of courage. Men of faith. They withstood the king. They challenged him in accordance with the scriptures. The text says in verse 18, "And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah." They didn't even call him King Uzziah. He's not worthy of it to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. The priests were correct. According to Numbers 3, verse 10, where God said to Moses, "And you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." God was gracious to him. He should have struck him down. God was extremely gracious to Uzziah. Maybe he was a child of God. The priests were meant to avert a more serious peril as they approach him. The king should have been treated like Nadab and Abihu, who were struck on the spot. And brethren, we see God's grace in our day. As women go to preach God's word, they're not struck down. As you and I come with dirty hands to this pulpit, we should be struck down on confessed sin. Spiritual pride often leads to independence. Causes men to become indifferent, aloof. You and I ought to be ever ready to heed sound advice. 80 priests withstood the king to no avail. The wise Solomon said, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Proverbs 11, verse 14. But we see a third outworking of this pride seen in this king. Intolerance, verse 19. Notice, then Uzziah was wroth. He was in a huff. and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. You see that? The king became agitated, angry, intolerant of correction, pig-headed, fixed in his position. He responds in a huff. And in the midst of his anger, God appeared on the scene. The text tells us, when he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord. Verse 20 goes on to say that Uzziah himself rushed out of the temple without even a chance to apologize or to change his mind. He was urgent in fleeing before contaminating the whole place. Verse 21, and Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. A quarantine. You hear a lot about that today. Being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Jotham his son. And this is the time Isaiah, we're told, began his prophecy over the king's house, judging the people of the land. This is what 2 Kings 15:5 says. In his brief summary, and the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. 2 Kings just gave us a brief summary, but we have to get more to understand what happened. Uzziah died in isolation, banished from the temple, from civilization. This was the legacy of a good king. And Isaiah 6 was able to say, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You see that? Isaiah had to wait until Uzziah was removed. He was filling the temple with his pride. Isaiah had to wait until God removed him to see the glory. And sometimes God might have to remove some of us. Don't mourn and groan when you see that. Brethren, the king stood in the way of God's glory. This is what men do in pride. They seek to take glory from God. But God showed this king mercy. And God is showing you and me mercy today that triumphs over judgment. We come to the last head. Uzziah's sad end. 2 Chronicles 26:23 reads, down to the end. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead, in his place. Such a good king didn't have an honorable funeral. He was denied a state funeral. He was buried in the city of his fathers, according to 2 Kings 15, but not in the sepulchres of the kings that we often read, Brother Depoah. It is really a sad epitaph to read and for us to ponder. You and I have known many earthly kings and leaders who enjoyed great success, only to be put away in dishonor. We just witnessed one a couple of years ago in Africa who had relative success but was dishonored. Sad. You see, that when we are tyrants, we can expect that. But there are many others who have tarnished their Christian testimony. Many pastors. I pray that God will keep me humble and weak, that I can depend on Him. I pray this for you. You and I wouldn't want to be remembered as a dishonorable soldier. You and I wouldn't want to leave this life with unconfessed sin, or one who was banished from the church of the Lord Jesus. People like to take pleasure in being excommunicated from a church. They take pleasure in cussing out the pastor for him to say, look, you can't stay here. They take pleasure in that. They don't see it as a stain on their testimony. And some of us cherish these people. It's a picture before us. I hope you are able to see it. You want to hear the Lord says, well done. Now, brethren, you and I should wash out for the seeds of pride in our lives. Pray that God will keep us humble. At times, having a big congregation, give some men a big head. It's good when God keep us small. Or having a double-decker building. Or a television ministry. Watch out. Over gloating. Over success. Or how many church plants that you have done. Watch out. I hear this a lot. How many books you have written. These are the ones that write in the books. That are independent. That are intolerant, that are indifferent. The scripture says that it was God who was with King Uzziah. Brethren, there are some things to watch out for. Watch out for the seed of independence. The Bible says in Romans 14:7, for no one of us live unto himself, and no man die unto himself. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. The church of the Lord Jesus is comprised of many members, but we are one body. Watch out for the seed of independence. The eye needs the hand and the nose needs the mouth. This spirit of independence has crept into our church. The spirit of exclusion, where some members think they can go this place this Sunday, and they can go on this trip the next one. Watch out. Some of you might call, but you may never call me. This happens where some men in office believe that they have no accountability. Uzziah did well when he was subordinate to the word of God. But success became a snare. Went to his head. It's dangerous. In every sphere of society. I listen. I watch. Like you. God has a way. He brought down Babylon. He brought down Rome. The United States is not far behind. Watch out. Politicians with a little success think they can do no wrong. Nebuchadnezzar failed to honor God. He was turned into a hippie. His son didn't see. His knees knocked. God told him, your days are numbered. The church has become like this. Many men. We must never be like this. We must be ever mindful of God's word. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they burn. This is what happened to this man. He withered literally with leprosy. Apostle Paul warns us in the new dispensation as he was speaking to the Romans about the Jews who were cut off. And he warns us in the new dispensation, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. King Uzziah was one of the natural branches that was turned into a leper. Watch out, me and you, for the seed of independence. Don't need the church. Don't need the leaders of the church. Watch out. Watch out for the seed of indifference. Indifference, paying a deaf ear to the prompts from the Word of God. A do it on your own mentality. Watch out for having an opinionated, if I pronounce the word, opinionated attitude. You know, there's nothing wrong with having an opinion, but if you are opinionated, it means that your way is the only right way. And forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. I probably spell it wrong. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain, listen unto wise counsel. You know that, Proverbs 1, verse 5. Listen to counsel. Listen carefully. I listen. Sometimes your wife might talk some sense in your head. Listen. A trusted brother. Lastly, watch out for the seed of intolerance. The king threw a tantrum, then corrected, became furious. Furious at the priest's office. No man is an island. 80 priests withstood the king, yet he resisted. You know, at times, brethren, attitudes may not be heard in our words, but they are heard in our tone. Intolerance. Can't tolerate him. Watch out for the seed of intolerance of the counsel of good men that God put in your path. I bring these things out because today history is being repeated in many circles. Men who were useful in the church have become useless because of pride. Many who were once admired in the faith, read their books, they are to be shunned because of a grievous falling away. The one thing I wouldn't do is call people's name from this pulpit that I knew. They lose sight of the one who gave strength in warfare, of the one who gave them strength to do the work of the ministry. This is why we must take this as an example set before us. Whether it be personal or ecclesiastical, we are to keep these things in mind, brethren. Uzziah, or King Uzziah, should remind me and you of our constant reliance upon God, the Lord Jesus. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Tonight we will look at this. Nothing more was said about King Uzziah until we read in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up. What a sad thing that God had to remove this king so that you can see the glory of Christ. And sometimes God must remove sin and people that others may see
His glory.
What a sad thing. What a sad lesson. Our success is only contingent on our trust in the Lord's word. The moment ministers begin to deviate, you can forget spiritual success. Remember the text declared, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Keep this in your mind. It is not by human savvy that the Lord has kept our congregation. It is not by our ability to buy a few new chairs that God has kept us. It is not our expertise on a computer that we can stream messages. It is not even the doctrines, like I was saying yesterday, that we can articulate. It is by our constantly seeking God. The one positive thing that I say to our men that came out of this lockdown, and I'm glad I can say it, is that every Sunday, every person was here, and every person was here on time. Whenever I walk into this building, everybody was here. It took a crisis for this to happen. But I hope that it trickled down to some of you who are listening that have a tendency of coming in here when you want. I'm going to use this opportunity. I thank you guys and you gals for that. But I speak about it because it is worthy of mentioning. It is worthy of application. And I'm not going to beat around it. But the Bible says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that builds it. Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman waketh in vain. It is better for some people to be kept poor and afflicted and sick by God. Keeps them in check. Call you and say, pray for me. Some of them, when they get better, they go back into the same rut. It is good. Solomon said, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient, sufficient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. It's better that we be afflicted with something. We stay near to God. It's like that puppy or that sheep that have a broken leg. Stay near his master. Don't push away what God gave you. If God gives you something, it's for your good. This king should remind us of the potential of our own hearts. Let us not come down too hard on King Uzziah, who dared to do that which was not protocol. Think of yourself. Haven't you been corrected many, many times for not doing what is protocol? It is idolatry. It is in every one of us. Man's nature is to be God. Don't want to follow God's leading. Began in the garden. Potential. And they were perfect. And who are us that are fallen creatures? We need to stay close to God. We need to watch out for the potential of our evil hearts. Uzziah finally should remind us of the holiness of God. That's why he had to get out. Holiness of God. Some of you come in here, and not immediately you. Still, with your grocery lists, on your bags. May you stop it. And your conversations. God is holy. The same God that brought great blessing on Uzziah was the same God that brought cursing. The king Uzziah sought to take glory from God. How would you like to see me running out of this church in disgrace? Running through the door never to look back because of sin. God is holy. He sought to trample upon God's way of worship and withstood those who promoted it. Right here at City View. Withstood the ones who were advocating the holiness of God. Despised them. This is rich in material. Therefore, may we ponder this example from the scriptures today, the snare of success. Whatever success it is, material, ecclesiastical, spiritual, ministerial, watch out for the snare of success. God bless our families. We got 2 children and 2 grandchildren. And we worship them. Watch out. May we be ever mindful that whatever we are is because of Him. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we pray you will bless your word and that we have done justice to your word in the exegesis of your word and in the applications from your word. We pray you will take your word and use it to the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.